The EP Podcast, heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.
Did you know that a solar eclipse occurs on this planet every 1 to 3 years? Yeah, happens all the time. I mean, where on the planet it happens, that changes, but it happens all the time. And that makes it funny that there were people out there who thought that some kind of weird vortex was going to open up and they were going to be sucked off into another dimension. If you spend any time on social media, that's a real thing. If you thought you were going to a parallel dimension yesterday and instead are listening to the EP podcast, welcome. Try to be less crazy. And hopefully you bought the right glasses, too. I think they were about 20 minutes into the eclipse beginning, and everybody from the patch here locally to the Associated Press were reporting that there were bad glasses sold in southern Illinois, and some people up here might have gotten them through Amazon as well. Like, who's gonna see that recall after it started? If you're wondering if you had bad glasses, close your eyes. Can you see the eclipse? That's a problem. Ahead on this episode of the EP Podcast, a return guest that knows everything about the trees, the parks, and maybe even a project that will get in your way on 95th Street sometime in the future. Way off in the future. Maybe. And we're going to go check out the new old home of the Evergreen Park Historical Museum. It's all brought to you by the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. Your child's bright financial future starts with learning good money habits early on in life. Help them get ahead with a junior savers account. From the First National Bank of Evergreen Park, with a junior savers account, kids earn interest on every dollar they deposit so they can watch their money grow. My little guy has a junior savers account. He gets the statement each and every month. He can see the interest that he's earning. Show your kids how fun and rewarding saving can be and set them up for success. And the best part is, it's another account attached to yours online. They got great online banking tools. It's very easy to keep track of all the money with all the kids at whatever age they're at and whatever kind of account that they have. Stop in and get the full rundown. Meet the friendly folks over there at 95th and Pulaski in that iconic building, the First National Bank of Evergreen Park, member FDIC. Sitting down here at the 9-foot homemade oak bar, Gavin Yeamans over here. I always think of you as just like the tree guy in Evergreen. But you have a better title than that, right,
yeah,
Gavin?
Yeah, right. Currently, I'm the Assistant Director of Public Works for the village.
That's a better title than tree guy.
Well, thank you.
Okay, me just going like, tree guy Gavin Yeamans here. Like, that would have been insulting, right?
Never insulting.
Okay, no. All right. Well, you know, you've been in here before. We've talked about the trees. Now is the season. It's April. Earth Day's upon us here this month. People are going to start planting. People are going to start taking a look at the trees that they have in front of their house. Something that you've reminded us before is that little area between the sidewalk and the street is actually the villages, which means if you're having an issue with the tree there, they call you, right?
Correct.
Okay. And they can get it replaced. They can get, if the thing's dead, like, you know, give you a call. If you're like, hey, you got any extra trees you're planting this year? They can get put on a list, get a brand new tree.
Right.
I don't need one, though. I've got plenty of trees.
You do have a tree out there.
I've got a tree. I've got two trees, actually, sitting in front of my little spot there. One of them smaller than the other one, and I'm on 99th, so it's constantly trimmed. And that's also something that, like, I don't think people realize. You guys are constantly out there trimming along these different streets, making sure that, like, things are not falling on people's cars during storms and things like that. That's a year-round maintenance thing, right?
That is. That's correct.
So now, let's get to the meat of everything. You've got some events coming up. You've got Earth Day coming up. Is that your Christmas?
No, it's not my Christmas, but but they are worthy causes. Saturday, April 13th, the village is hosting a textile recycling event at Yukich Field from 10 to 1. And also on the 13th, there's an Earth Day park cleanup, and that registration's at 9:45 at Yukich. I think from once you register, you're going to kind of get an assignment. People that are interested are going to get an assignment on going to different parks to kind of spend some time cleaning up.
So they're not going to just be a Yukich, because I read that thing in the village newsletter and I thought to myself, like, okay, well, Yukich is getting clean that day. But instead, this is something where you're going to go to all the different parks around the area, and then this is just a cleanup effort.
Right. The check-ins at Yukich, because the textile event is there. So you'll check in there and you'll get assigned a different park and spend some time there.
Now, I'm out in the morning driving around, I think, a little bit more than most people. I see guys in the parks constantly cleaning. I see maintenance happening. I see cleaning happening. I see things getting picked up off the grass and just everything just kind of being tidied up. It just seems to be a regular thing that's occurring throughout the year. So what are these people going to do that you're not doing?
Well, it'll be on a weekend, so that's typically we wouldn't have guys there. You're right. We're dailies. So okay. We're keeping it as clean as best we can.
I mean, are you leaving
daily.
Them a mess? They're like, are you like, okay, Earth Day's coming, guys. Just ease off a little bit so there's some junk for these people to pick up. Because normally the parks are pretty clean.
There'll be plenty to pick up. There always is. Like you said, if you don't notice it because we pick up so often, but if you stopped, it would be an eyesore within a couple of days. Yeah.
Yeah. I always think, like, I grew up over at 80th and Spalding in the city. So, you know, all the different services around were part of the city of Chicago. And we get a lot of graffiti. We get a lot of broken glass. We get a lot of things that get somebody for some reason would just break a swing. Like, I remember my park was just always a disaster. How much do you guys have to keep up? Do you find yourselves constantly repairing things? Or because to me, I don't see any of that. So either you do a really good job of cleaning at the moment that it happens, or it doesn't happen as often around here.
It does happen. So that's a testament to our guys, our crews that are out there picking up and checking out the parks. It does happen, like you said. People damage swings and draw things on slides.
Draw things. Yeah. Right. Yeah. People use sandboxes as garbage disposals.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something you have to stay up on.
Something you got to jump all over.
For sure.
All right. So day of this big cleanup, Earth Day. How many people you figuring you're going to get? You're going to get a crowd? I mean, it's like one of those things where you're like, we need to get so many. Like, I know that you're doing so much maintenance on the parks that if, let's say, you don't get as big a crowd to cover every park, you're just going to be like, all right, we're going to get these three here, and then I'm going to send a crew to go take care of the rest of them for the weekend, and we'll probably be good. But what are you expecting turnout-wise?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much of the weather kind of impacts how many people will come out, but any bonus that the public can give for that day is awesome. So it lightens the load that much the following week.
So what are you working on now? I know last year you guys had a bunch of free trees that you were giving away. Evergreen is Tree City, so that you have a lot of trees that you're planting. You're constantly picking different types you want to put up. There's a method to the madness. You're not going out and buying 1,000 of the same kind. You know, certain areas need certain shade. You want to make sure that things are diverse in case something moves through and, like, kills a certain kind of tree. It doesn't kill all the trees you put in. So what is your focus this year?
Right. This year we, in conjunction with Earth Day and Arbor Day, which is in April, we received a grant from the Morton Arboretum to plant 200 trees this year. So
that doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, generally on a given year, we plant about 100. So this is double our efforts.
We're doubling it. Okay.
So this year, part of our grant was that we're going to target some areas that are typically not targeted for tree planting, areas where people aren't requesting as often. So this year, we wrote the grant to kind of target Kedzie Avenue and try to see if we can load up some trees on Kedzie and kind of find spaces where, like I said, that people are traditionally not requesting trees. So we're targeting a kind of 100 trees for Kedzie, and we're targeting 100 trees like that we typically do in the neighborhoods.
You know, I kind of like that idea because I'll be honest with you, there are sections along Kedzie where it just feels like it's barren.
Right.
I mean, we are Evergreen Park, right?
Right.
There should
be
trees everywhere.
Definitely.
There should be trees all up and down. Do you ever consider stylistically? Because Kedzie is right down the middle. Everybody always goes, 95th is right down the middle. Well, Kedzie's right down the middle of the other direction. Do you think about the fact that it is called Evergreen Park, and have you considered the idea of putting evergreens up and down Kedzie?
We kind of, with the tree selection, you want to pick which trees can kind of handle growing in that environment on Kedzie. So evergreen trees, typically, they're a little more finicky when it comes to salt. And Kedzie is going to have a lot of salt usage. So the trees we actually targeted for this grant along Kedzie have a heavy emphasis on native Illinois trees. So this year, that was our focus, is we're going to try to get good trees along Kedzie that can tolerate that kind of environment.
How do the trees get affected by what I keep hearing is a massive amount of cicadas that are coming this year? Are you gearing up for that? Is that something that concerns you, or are they just a nuisance that has nothing to do with the health of your trees?
I think they could, maybe some young trees could kind of sustain a little damage from the feeding when they emerge.
Okay.
But these trees. And
they're under the ground though, right? They're not in the trees.
They come to the trees once they come out of the ground.
Okay. And then they hang on them and
and feed on them. And So, but, you know, these trees and these cicadas have obviously been in a balance for a lot of years. So I think the trees will do just fine.
Does it make you nervous with the new planting? Is there something like you guys are going to try to work around the idea that at some point there'll be billions of these things all over the place?
We don't have any specific plans now, but we can kind of monitor those real new trees.
Okay. All right, cool. So there's 200 trees going in. They're going along Kedzie Avenue. You got Earth Day cleanup happening. That's exciting. What else you got coming up?
We right now have a project at Veterans Park, 97th in California, where we're renovating the park. We're putting a new playground in, some new retaining walls and landscaping. The tennis and pickleball courts will get refreshed over there. So it's kind of just a little park project over there on California.
Do you get, now I know you do actually, I'm going to ask you this question, do you get input? I know you get input. You guys actually will a lot of times have events and invite people out and be like, what would you like to see in your park? Do you ever feel sometimes like somebody's got a really good idea and you're like, yeah, but logistically that isn't possible? Or do you every once in a while hear something from someone and you're like, we never would have thought of that if that person would have thrown it out there?
Yeah, I think the mayor's office gets a lot of comments. I know... we've recently had a couple about more pickleball courts.
What's with this pickleball? Man?
It's crazy.
Are you playing pickleball?
My daughter forced me to play it the other
day,
and it was a lot of fun, but I'm sore today.
Okay, so you're sore afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's hard.
It is.
Because it seems like everybody thinks they can pick it up.
Seems like if you play one-on-one, you're doing a lot more activity than if you'd play two-on-two.
Right, so you got to find like a friend, and then they got to have a friend.
Right.
And then you got to play, and somebody's got to understand the rules, because I still don't know how this whole thing works. But this is like the new thing. Like, every time somebody brings up an event, a park, an improvement, there's a pickleball court. And I don't play pickleball.
You should give it a try, though. It's pretty fun.
Okay. Evergreen Park's becoming the place of pickleball. Awesome. All right. And you got a big list there, so I know there's more.
Well, besides the park, we have some future projects where there's not really a timeline yet, where there's some street patching this summer, probably summer, fall.
Was it bad this winter? Because I heard that because there weren't so many thaws and like there weren't those really bad sub-zero temperatures that there aren't as many potholes.
Yeah, I don't think the pothole situation's too bad this year. With this street patching that we're going to try to do, we're actually targeting some areas that are not going to be repaved for quite a few years. So any bad spots that are starting to show up, we're trying to patch those now so that the street doesn't deteriorate, because we know there's not going to be a big project in that area anytime soon. So
do you take phone calls from people? They're like, hey, I got a pothole. Will you get out here?
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You'll schedule it and go take a look at it.
Yeah, if they call that in, if they notice a bad section of street, we'll take care of it real quick. There's a potential water main replacement that is going to happen on 95th Street, and that would be from Western to California.
The whole main?
The whole big water main.
Does it run down the middle of 95th or like underneath one of the sidewalks?
It's right now, the current existing main is under the street, but we might be looking to move it up near the sidewalk and curb on the north side.
So we may see some major construction then on
that
side.
Right. The timing, that it would be just a large infrastructure improvement project.
That's also got to be something for you that you got to coordinate with the state, because isn't 95th Street a state road?
So it is.
So you're going to rip up their road.
So that's a big project that's kind of out there. And, you know, it's still,
I would say it's out there.
It's out there in logistics. So.
All right. So there's a possibility that we're going to have between California and Western, the village going underneath the street, moving the water main. The state then's going to have to, does the state come back and fix the road then? Or is that something where they're like, you broke it, you
bought
it?
That would be us. Restoration would be on us for
okay.
that.
Okay. And then you're going to put in a brand new road there.
Well, wow. in like one lane or the curb area over there. So we'd definitely have to put back what was there.
Right. And that could be tricky too.
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
Yeah. Otherwise you got one lane. It's like 5 feet higher than the other lane. We don't want that.
But there's still some planning there. So
yeah,
that's,
I would
that's
say so.
Out there.
Okay.
And then
Gavin's right now going, man, I shouldn't even have brought that up. We don't even have that project like done yet.
And then we have some more tree trimming in the northeast quadrant this fall. So what we've kind of tried to move to in the tree trimming is, as you mentioned, they came down 99th Street last fall. So we're looking to kind of get the village on more of a cyclical type system, where rather than being on demand, where we proactively take certain areas and have a contractor trim every tree rather than hopping around all over the place. But that's kind of the plan, is that then you're like on a 5-year kind of cycle around town.
So when you're trimming the trees, are you doing it for maintenance and stopping, like, let's say a branch from hitting a car going across the road? Is that what you're doing? Because sure. I also noticed, like, there's other trucks that aren't Evergreen Park trucks that seem to be like the electric company or the phone company that will also come along sometimes and lop a branch off
right.
because they're protecting their line. So we will see more than just EP workers working on the trees, especially if we're on like a busier street.
Right. So there's a few reasons why someone would trim a tree. So a lot of times what happens is we get a call. Someone is worried about the tree. They're concerned that there might be some dead branches or some hollows or something like that in the tree. So what we do is come out and assess the tree. Hopefully the tree doesn't need to be removed, and the village could prune the tree in a manner that we can save the tree, reduce some risk of the tree, and keep it so that the village keeps benefiting from the tree being there. But the tree trimming I'm mentioning now is more of a proactive, where we're not responding to a call, that we have contractors have given us a price, and they're going to proactively go through and kind of raise the canopy of the tree and do some of that work that might not, you know, necessarily require a resident to call about. They're out there seeing stuff before it, you know, requires a phone call.
Do you have any tips for somebody that might want to do some work on their own trees? Not the ones that are actual village trees, but because like I have an evergreen in front of my house. You see it when you show up here, right? Like the bottom branches, I've taken them off before. I've been in this house for 15 years. I take them off. And then eventually that evergreen goes, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to lower the ones that I have and put those down on the ground again. Then I take those off, and then it lowers down and I take those off. And I you know, I'm not an expert on this. I'm probably doing it wrong every time I go and do it. If you want to remove branches, is there something like a hard set rule for every tree? Is there something that, like, if somebody says, I'm going to go take care of this myself, they should remember?
I would actually just advise them to Google or look up the proper cut methods. You know, there's a lot of things you can do wrong on where you make the cut, and then on certain species of trees, the timing. So I would always just find what tree you have and then look up the best pruning techniques for that tree.
Yeah, I don't even want to tell you that for the last 15 years, I didn't look up a thing. I just would go grab a saw and I would just hack off a branch, and the tree's like keeps growing.
Right.
And I can't kill this tree.
You know, most of the time, if the tree's healthy to begin with, it's probably not going to be an issue.
This tree laughs at me. It's so big. It's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want to me. I'm just going to keep growing, you know? Right. So yeah, I would imagine when they get bigger, they're a lot stronger.
But there are certain times of the year you don't want to trim, like, you know, oak trees. You don't want to trim oak trees right now. You want to trim them when certain diseases aren't present. So I would always advise to find out what species of tree you have and then look up the best times and methods to trim it.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things that Country Financial stands for. They're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through Evergreen Park. They're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of your community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. And since Country is already your neighbor, they want to get together and chat. Call your local Country Financial representative, Mike Thauer, today at 708-425-1559 to talk about the things that are important to you and how he can help you protect them. EP Podcast Word on the Street, brought to you by Spoken Vine Wine Bar and Bottle Shop, northeast corner of 95th and Kedzie. Stop in there for the food, stay for the wine. The selection's incredible. And then if you really like something, grab a bottle on the way out the door. They have a wine shop attached to this incredible restaurant. See more at SpokenVineWines.com. The Evergreen Park Police Department is warning the public of an ongoing scam where a caller claims to be an Evergreen Park police officer and then instructs the individual to send money in order to avoid criminal charges. Sometimes the offenders will tell you you missed a court date related to a traffic crash, and then you're told to send money for the fines and court fees. These types of calls are scams. Don't send any money. If you have any questions, just hang up, call the police department, 708-422-2142. They will clear it all up for you. Meanwhile, the village is seeking a candidate to fill an available part-time Meals on Wheels position. All jobs offered by the village are at evergreenpark-ill.com/jobs. The next Village Board meeting is happening on April the 15th at 6:30 p.m. on the second floor of Village Hall. Happens every other week. And the Office of Citizen Services is still offering AARP income tax preparation for Evergreen Park seniors through April the 12th. So you got a few more days. Appointments are available daily. They are not doing business returns or very complicated returns, and walk-in appointments are not available. So you want to call ahead, 708-422-8776. And we brought up pickleball with our last guest, so let's talk about John Dwyer's Pickleball Clinic for Beginners. You register at the youth department by April the 26th, and for a $39 fee, kids ages 10 to 13 or in a grouping of ages 14 to 17 can learn pickleball. The 10 to 13 year olds on May 1st, the 14 to 17 year olds on May 4th. Any questions, stop by 3450 West 97th Street, room 105, or give them a ring at 708-229-3377. I recently stopped by the Evergreen Park Historical Commission's museum and sat down with several ladies and gentlemen behind the totally revamped, completely in a new location, and readily available museum that you yourself should pay a visit. The EP Podcast is out at a brand new museum. A museum that, I'm sorry, isn't brand new, has just been moved throughout the village over and over and over again. George Peso is here with me. He's been on the show before. He's brought a bunch of friends. I'm going to give him an opportunity to introduce. But this is the Historical Commission Museum that is now located over at the Evergreen Park Senior Center. What is that? 9547 South Homan.
Yes.
See, I was able to rattle that right off. George, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. I'm vertical and breathing.
That's awesome. And that's like the number one answer given on this show every time I go, like, how you doing? All the people at Evergreen Park are like, I'm 6 feet above ground. I woke up this morning. Like, everybody's got the same attitude. Like, I'm just happy to be here. What a village. All right. So to introduce me to everybody that's sitting
all
here.
Right. To my left is Virginia Roble. And we got Gary Westifer, Karen Bokova, and Tom, what's your last name again?
Riccio.
I just do that one in.
Tom's been here for like, you know, forever, and it's like, you never even learned my name, George. Absolutely brutal. And how many of you are actually in a picture here? You're all in some picture somewhere in here, right? Okay. And none of them are recent because you've been around Evergreen for a long time. Tell me about your picture. Tell me a little bit about it.
I've been here since I moved here in 1970. I've been worked for the village from 1974 to 89. So, and I've been around ever since. They can't get rid of me.
She's living forever. So I moved in with my parents in 1955, and I attended Central School. And that was in 55, of course. And then I graduated from there in 57 and then went to high school. And I graduated from there in 61 and then on to college. And then after college, I was in the service for 3 years in the U.S. Army in Vietnam.
Is it your uniform that's in this place? I see there's a uniform in here.
Not mine. That's a little bit older than me.
Okay.
It's probably when I was born, that's the uniform.
So that's interesting, too, to me, because as I walk along, like as I said, you're all included somewhere in your lives inside of this really thorough historical museum here about Evergreen. I mean, you can really go decade to decade. You can go back to the beginning. I've learned things about how Evergreen was started just in my walk through here today and just looking at how everything began and how it became a village. And all that information is here for you, and it's really interesting. And you can look back at stuff that maybe is memory for you. Like you have a bowling ball and pins from Bleecker's here, right?
Yeah.
You got all the stuff from the plaza here. But then there's also stuff where you're like, I had no idea that this is what the Evergreen Park looked like, or this is what Most Holy Redeemer Church looked like at the beginning, or something like that. So how do you go about gathering all of this?
Well, we basically talk to a lot of people, find out what they have that they want to get rid of or donate to us. And then, of course, Tom is our good individual that goes around to a lot of antique stores. You'll find something that it pertains to everyday life of Evergreen, and he purchases it, we'll reimburse him, and we'll put it on display.
So Tom does that. Gary, you mind passing the mic down to Tom real quick? I want to ask him about that. So, you know, I've seen Antiques Roadshow. Are you haggling? Are you showing up? Do you see something you're like, ooh, that's valuable, but I'm going to make this person think it's junk?
I look at it and I perceive, I think we need this. This would be very important to have in our museum because it was an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Doctor's bag.
Right.
Coming out. I got that in Indiana at a flea market.
Okay. For like a dollar. You're like, I'll take this junk off your hands.
Yeah, really, exactly.
All right, so
shovel.
You got a shovel.
Coal.
Yeah.
From the for the old potbelly stove.
Are there things in here that are specifically that were in Evergreen, and then sometimes you have to supplement and find something that you know existed in Evergreen, but you had to go someplace else to go get it?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, you got to do a little bit of that.
The coal bucket we have over here is actually from a home in the park.
In the park?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was interested. I saw there was a picture of Klein Park that was really old, and I just never assumed that section of Evergreen was as old as it was. What would people, George, be most surprised by if you told them like a historical nugget about Evergreen or how long something has been here or something? What do you think people are most surprised by when they walk through here?
I would say Plaza, the Evergreen Park Plaza, because a lot of that was all torn down and remodeled with a new layout. Now, as an architect, I would have done a little bit different and laying it out.
You get a little critical.
Oh, I'm very much critical because I attended a meeting at one of the churches, and this is prior to the plaza being built, and a lot of people had their own opinions, and somebody came up with the term, I believe it's called a town center, and a lot of people don't know what that is. Well, a town center is actually a mix of businesses and residential property. And, you know, if you had stores below and you had residential property up above, that's your town center. And there's entertainment centers in there as well. And that's what I wish the plaza could have developed into. But as it is, it didn't happen that way.
Now we preserve what it used to be here. You have a big giant plaza sign here. Did Gary help you carry that in? Was that your job? Is that what happened?
Actually, four people can carry that in. It's a little bulky, but it's not that heavy. What I did, I'm used to walking on a lot of construction sites, being with my architectural background. But I went into the trailer and I talked to the chief contractor, and I said to him, I says, you know, I said, I'd like to get a sign off of here, about mainly the plaza sign, just one half of it. He says, you don't want the whole thing? I said, no, that's a couple of tons right there. And I said, just give me half of it. It's an open frame sign. And, about a month later, he says, you guys can come and get it. So that's what happened. We had our village people come up and pick it up, and we put it in one of the yards, and we wait until we were ready to accept it.
Does this feel like the permanent home now for you? Because I did make a joke at the beginning that, like, this was something that you guys have moved several times. Yeah. You've had a couple different administrations in Evergreen while you had this around. Right. You've had to find some space. It feels like the EP, the village, has expanded over the last. I know since we started the show 6 years ago, I know that there are more buildings that have been purchased by the village and being used for community things. So do you feel now that you finally have your permanent home?
I'm not moving. No way. No, we started here and we're back here again, but with a little bit more room at our fingertips, so which it makes me happy.
How often are you open? When can people come by and see this?
Okay, now we meet on Mondays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock. And that's for our own personal work that we do around here. Now, for the public, it would be on Saturdays from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock. Now, it would be the first and third Saturday of every month. Now, if there was any groups that wanted to come in, they would have to contact me at my home, which is 708-422-5222. And they can make reservations for whatever times they want to come here. Now, we sent out letters to all the grammar schools and also the high school. And we did get a letter from the high school that they're going to be coming here.
I think everybody should get in here at some point. I would like to see some additional involvement. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would think you guys would take some new members. Like, Gary, would you take new members? You need, I think you need a couple of, you know, maybe some strong 18 to 20 year old high school and the college guys that can carry that plaza sign around for you, right, Gary?
And we do have one college.
You do?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
You got one that's in here that's helping you out.
And he's very good with the computers. So right. When we do a program like at the library or something, he does all the computerizing for the display that we do speaking and the presentation.
That is one of the funnier things that I saw when I walked through here is that George here has donated early computers. And you always struck me as you would be the guy who would have the first computer on your block. Because I don't even recognize those models. Like, I had a guy on my block that was that way. It was like, he's the first one to ever have a computer. And he didn't do anything, right?
I got a hold of somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you could just type in a couple of, like, things and maybe play Pong on it. But, you would have that, George. You would have. And I find it funny that you have two very old computers inside this museum.
You should see my desk at home. I have one computer. And it was given to me as a gift by my wife's son, and it's got two monitors on it. Then I have my own computer that had my drawing program on it. So my desk is pretty full of computers.
Well, there's a lot of artifacts. There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of things that you can read and learn about. Even the idea that the Evergreen Park Fire Department, I guess, used to have white trucks, but the gas used to make the engines turn pink. And that's why they changed the color to red. I learned that today inside of your museum. Did you know that?
That one I did not
know. It's right there on the wall, right there. I'm doing the interview. I picked it right up off the wall. You got to roll with me here.
How much could I memorize? You know, the brain is only so big.
Folks, I appreciate you letting me into your amazing museum. I hope to see it continue to expand, and I hope you get a lot of people that walk through here. Again, it's at 9547 South Homan in the Senior Center. There's great parking. Just pull into the back into the lobby. Walk in the door. It's very easy to find it here. And again, the first and third Saturdays starting at 10 a.m. going until what, 3?
Till 3.
And you can call George at his home. If you miss the number, just rewind back. That's how technology works. I don't want to give out your home number too many times.
It's quite all right. No problem.
Thanks so much, folks.
We're planning on doing a second presentation. The first presentation we did on the people that were in the village or in before the village.
Yeah.
The second one's going to be on places. We're looking at targeting sometime. It's going to be on a Thursday either.
August 1st.
I guess it's already technically set.
Yes, yeah. Is.
Right.
So, because we're considered that time of year. Now it's going to be there. So
awesome.
They
very cool.
Call the library to find out all the information, just to find out what the time and so forth. So,
Gary, you're the best. I'm telling you, I mentioned your name three times during this interview to get you to talk, and you waited until I said goodbye to everybody to throw something in.
That was
amazing.
You got to hit
that. That was amazing. You couldn't have planned that better. That was amazing.
You got to hit that grand finale.
It's the EP podcast, all things Evergreen Park. It's the EP podcast, Evergreen Park.